Have you ever been thrilled watching a flock of ducks cup their wings to land, only to have them fly away as a bass explodes out of the water, slamming into a school of minnows? Maybe you have considered the idea of using those times you enjoy on the trail to adventure with others to connect them with their Creator God. Our hope is those outdoor personalities who join us on the program will help you in that way. With that in mind, here's the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette.
Well, all right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors. We're here at Rushing Wind Retreat Center, Ontario, Canada, just about an hour above International Falls, Minnesota. The Fishers and Men and Couples Retreats. This is the winding down of one of the couples retreats. We did have a few fellas that wound up attending this as well, because at the same time that's going on, board members coming in and a few old friends from the past that are friends with Arnie and Dee Wolf, who run this ministry here, the retreat center. And one of those is a friend from my past and a good friend, Pastor Dan Williams. Pastor Dan, welcome back to God's Great Outdoors.
Thank you very much, Jerry. It's just a joy to be back here. This is a special place to me over the years and always exciting to be together again.
Well, as folks are hearing your voice, Dan, you being from Manitoba, you don't sound Canadian. Maybe we need to explore that a little bit, let the listeners know the fact that you were born in a European country and find out the details of your life.
That's right, Jerry. My parents actually headed over to Sweden in the mid-60s before I was born, and that came from just a call from the Lord, a passion in their lives to see the gospel spread to that nation. That nation had a very small population of Christians at that time, and closer to one percentage point. They just had a real heart to see young people mature in the Lord and grow up to be disciples, followers of God, and share their faith and see that spread throughout the region. And it was a very special environment for us to grow up in. My sister and I have a sister's a year and a half older than me, and they spent about 30 years starting a small Bible school there, training students, and that passion that they had was definitely passed on to us, where my heart now too is to see young people be followers of Christ and know who their God is and share him with others. So that's our heritage, and that's what we're here for this week, and God has done great things.
Well, certainly with what your parents were doing was preparing others to carry on the Great Commission, and that's the heartbeat of the ministry of God's Great Outdoors and using God's creation and the time we spend in the outdoors to reach men, women, and children through what our Creator God has made for us and that connection, Romans 1:20, we're without excuse when we're in the creation to not realize that we have a Creator God. Now, I think the very first adventure that you and I had was a visit to the Lower Muskie Lake, and muskies, you wanted me to teach you everything I know about muskies. I know absolutely nothing except you never know what a muskie is going to do, whether they're going to bite today or tomorrow, if ever.
Isn't that the truth, Jerry? Honestly, I've almost given up on some of those muskies because it seems like I have to go for days and days without knowing what's going to happen. But that's a special trip in my mind with you. I remember still we had a experience where we saw this silver flash that kept flashing underneath the boat. And we wondered, what in the world is that? That muskie's traveling faster than anything I've seen before. It's like it has wings. And sure enough, we found out this loon was diving underneath our boat and flashing through the water there. But a special experience to be up on a lake all on your own up in Canada here and just enjoy God's nature, see the beauty of all of his creation. And there's nothing I love more than fishing and being alone and just hearing his heartbeat through his creation. So that's been a great joy for us.
Well, certainly that was an experience, and it turned out that loon was trying to catch our fishing plugs, which we were throwing to the muskie. Now, it's not typical to bring a muskie in and use it for dinner, fry it up. I have spoken at game dinners where they served muskie, and like the pike here, it sure does taste good, but it also fills the lodge as you're frying up those fish with an aroma that reminds me that my wife Cindy is standing by to share today's recipe. Folks, send in your recipes, how you're preparing the wild fish, game, or plants you're harvesting. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with, what kind of an activity it is you like to do, and you'll get a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights, for that recipe and their autograph. And we'll be right back after Cindy shares this.
Now, friends, if you are looking for some of the best wild game and fish recipes to savor the experience of your family's time of field or stream, we've got the cookbook for you. Steve Chapman, author of A Look at Life from a Deer Stand, and his wife Annie have teamed up to write The Hunter's Cookbook. This book is packed with over 200 recipes to turn wild meats and fish into mouth-watering meals. Also scattered amongst the pages are Steve's family's hunting and fishing stories to read while cooking and Steve Chapman's hand-sketched drawings to complement the stories and recipes too. The Hunter's Cookbook by Steve and Annie Chapman is on our website store at ggoutdoors.org or call us here at 937-698-3656 to order over the phone. And would you please like us on Facebook at God's Great Outdoors Radio? Remember Genesis 9:3. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.
We're back, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors. And again, we're with Pastor Dan Williams from Manitoba, Canada, here in Ontario, Canada, at the Rushing Wind Retreat Center. And Dan, want to explore a little bit about you and some adventures that you have had to where sometimes those things that are just supposed to be fun and exciting suddenly turn to where they become life-threatening and our concerns for whether or not just our well-being, but even our very lives. And you had an experience up here at Rushing Wind, caught in a storm. Maybe you can give us some of the details and how God got you through that, if you would, please.
Yes, I would love to. Let me back up a little bit. There's a motivation, there's a story behind the story in this one, and I think that the first time I got myself into trouble was partly due to you've heard of buck fever, but I had trout fever that day. And you see, there was this beautiful big trout that had been caught up at the far end of the lake the day before. And even though the weather wasn't looking very promising, the waves were high, the wind was blowing, I wanted to catch myself a trout. So against common wisdom, I headed against that wind and the waves and got up to the other end of the lake and fished for the day. And we did okay. We caught a few nice walleye and a few others, but no trout. But it was time to come home. The weather was turning worse, and we were in a fairly sheltered area. And when we turned for home, there's a narrows before you come into a large body of water, and the wind was so hard, every time we tried to enter this larger body of water through the narrows, the wind would push us back and flip the boat around. We took several runs at it to try to get back out there. I had to be careful not to hit bottom, so I couldn't have the motor lowered fully to get enough power, and I think we tried and failed three or four times, so I did lower the motor finally and try to gun it, and then we hit bottom and broke off the shear pin on the motor. So that pushed us back down the channel, and we realized we're just getting further and further away from home instead of closer. The wind was too strong to paddle against. So we abandoned our boat there, and knowing there was a small trapper's cabin around the corner, we waded through the water, pulled up the boat on land, and I had my son Benjamin with me, who was about 11 or 12 years old at the time, and then I had another gentleman with me, a friend of mine named Martin. He was about my age. And he was getting really worried. He was worried about hypothermia and getting a little anxious. And all while Benjamin had just had this big smile on his face. He was grinning from ear to ear. This was the best adventure of his life. So, but we did manage to find the trapper's cabin around the corner after hiking through the woods for about 45 minutes. And I knew the direction to go. And once we got there, Martin, he was my friend, he was ready to grab an axe that we found in behind the cabin and break down the door. He needed to get in and get warm, but we took our time, ended up finding a screwdriver to take the hinges off, and we got in the door without making any damage. And once we got inside, we started looking around, rooting through things, and we knew we had to make contact with camp because we knew people would be out looking for us. And not only were we in some danger with the weather that night, but we knew anyone looking for us would also be in that same danger. So we got a fire going and started looking around the cabin. The cabin was no more than 10 by 10 with some shelves, and there were a number of Rubbermaid containers sitting around. So we opened them up and rooted through them. And as I was going through them, I found an old radio phone. And I thought, well, this should work. And I got it out, but there was no power. There was nothing to connect it to. So we went around the cabin some more, and I found a generator sitting under a tarp outside. So I started that generator up, got some power, found some cables to hook up to a battery, charged the battery, and then hooked up the phone to the battery, and things were looking pretty good. But once I turned it on, there still wasn't a signal. So at this point, I started to wonder, well, how am I going to get a signal on this phone? And sure enough, I walked outside and noticed there's an antenna sticking up on top of the roof. And I followed the wires down and eventually found the wires to connect to the phone inside. So it was just one treasure hunt after another until we found what we needed. And I had a tone now. So I got on the phone, and I didn't even know how to use this thing. But we turned it on, and I just started calling on it for anyone out there. I thought if anyone can hear me on this radio, I was going to have them call Arnie. But no luck. I just kept trying channel after channel, and there was no response. So after all else had failed, we turned to prayer. A little slow, but eventually I got there. I prayed, Lord, just help me figure out how this thing works. And as I was praying, I was fumbling with the receiver in my hand, and I flipped it over. On the back, there was a code inscribed. And I punched in the numbers and the code, and when I did, sure enough, a dial tone came up on the phone, and I was able to call camp. And as I called, Arnie picked up on the second ring back here at the home base, and he said, I've been out looking for you for 2.5 hours, and we're frozen stiff. Just had to come in to change clothes, and then we're heading out again to find you. And as soon as I walked in the door, that phone rang to know that you're safe. So just beautiful to see how the Lord lined everything up, helped us find everything, and connected us with Arnie when he did.
Well, isn't it amazing, your statement, and I've been there before. The last thing we do sometimes is to pray when it should be the first thing. And even our conferences where we teach how to do outdoor ministry, we teach using prayer, planning, preparation, and more prayer. Yet when we get in these situations, we forget to follow our own advice and what the Word of God tells us. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be right back after this.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help, we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Now's the time to begin casting out to the unsafe fishermen all around us. The Christian Anglers Association has a free devotional booklet for fishermen to help you answer God's higher calling to be fishers of men in the sea of humanity. For your free devotional booklet and membership information, write to The Christian Anglers Association, P.O. Box 142, Silver Lake, Minnesota 55381, or catch their website at www.rockdove.com/CAA.
We call a man behind bars a prisoner. His children call him dad. Fathers in the Field works with the local church to introduce their sons to a mentor father and the Heavenly Father, exposing these boys to the healing power of outdoor adventure, service, acceptance, and forgiveness can help break the cycle of abandonment. To find out how your passion for God and the outdoors intersects with a boy's life, please visit fathersinthefield.com or call 307-332-0901.
We're back, Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, and we're here at Rushing Wind Retreat Center with Pastor Dan Williams. We're at the couples retreat, winding down today. The planes will be coming in, taking the folks home, and looking at a life and death situation. There is a situation going on in our, I won't just say Canada, the U.S., it may be happening around the world, but so many kids don't have the blessing of their dad because homes are breaking up. Dan, speaking of our conferences on doing outdoor ministry, we've had you share at those, and you have got a burden on your heart for this area. You talked about it even here as you spoke the one morning. Would you be so kind as to maybe enlighten our listeners as to what God has placed in your heart and how he's been guiding and directing you?
Yes, this has been a huge burden on my life, and I just have seen the next generation floundering, as if they've tasted of all the things this world has to offer, and yet they remain hungry for the one thing that does satisfy. But they need help, they need guidance, they need mentors, people to sow into their lives and discover what this thing is that will give them peace, that will give them life. And I guess I want to encourage all our listeners out there. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." And even as I was telling that trout story, it was an effort on my half to try to grab life for myself. But as you know, when you try to grasp for something, it will so often slip through your fingers. But when you're willing to lay down your life and invest in others, you'll see that life come back to you. It's like a river instead of a stagnant pond, where the stagnant pond gets stinky, but when you let the life flow through you, it brings life to others as well. So I've had other opportunities now to refocus my trips when I come up here. Instead of getting that big trout, instead of about feeding myself, God has really changed my heart to feed the next generation and sow into those that come after us. And I don't know, maybe I should tell the other trout story in comparison to this one with Tristan. So into comparison, when I was trying to get life for myself, I had another opportunity where I had a young man, his name was Tristan, who had just come from a family situation of his parents being divorced and came up to camp here out of an invitation of an uncle. And his one heart desire was to catch a lake trout. And God gave me opportunity to take him out to a trout lake, and we prayed together. And he caught his first lake trout and actually caught a second one and a third one. And I could just see the joy on his face as God blessed him with what mattered to him, because what matters to us matters to God. And just seeing the joy on this young man's face and knowing that the Father cared for him and being a part of that, investing in him and being able to share with him how much Jesus loved him and cared for him and wanted to bless him, and see the change in his countenance as he rose up and said, "I know that there's a God that cares about me." What a joy to be able to pour into someone else that way in comparison to just trying to grasp life for myself and see that life flow out to others.
Pretty exciting when we make our fishing not about fishing, but actually using it to help make us fishers of men, and I've watched you do that for the time that you've been here. There's always at least one or two kids in the boat, and maybe somebody that has never caught a trout. When you go after the trout and you're trying to bless them, that's certainly something that we can reflect in anything and everything that we do in our lives. And appreciate your willingness to share this with all the listeners. And thank you so much, Dan, for who you are in Christ and how you've helped the ministry in the past, and for letting the listeners know how they can use the creation to bring people to the Creator God.
Thank you very much, Jerry. It's been a joy and a pleasure, and just can't wait to see what the Lord does as we've planted these seeds in young men's life, as they grow up and bear fruit and spread that life to others around them as well.
Dan Williams is one of those individuals that I've had the privilege to cross paths with on my trail to adventure, who is truly committed to honoring and serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Dan clearly sees how you can use God's creation to have an impact in the lives of those people that God allows to cross his path, and the same thing can work for you as well. Friends, if you're interested in doing outdoor ministry, I promise your efforts won't go in vain, and you will see lives changed for eternity. And there is no greater effort that we can put out when it comes to trophies, trophies of grace for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, than winning men, women, and children to the Lord. Interestingly enough, friends, as Cindy and I travel across the country speaking at churches, Cindy singing, opportunities to share with people, different events that we go to, friends that we meet or already know, from time to time you hear as they're going through difficulties or have just come through some kind of an issue in their life. They wonder how anyone can even make it without knowing and having received Jesus Christ, the Creator God, as their personal Savior. And it is something to ponder. We are so blessed to be able to give all of our cares to the Lord. And He tells us in Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. What's going on in your life, friends? You know, God uses these things, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to build our faith and draw us closer to Him. But He also uses difficulties in our life to bring us to a point, if we have never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, to make us realize we need to do that. Do you have the certainty if you die today, you'd be able to stand in the presence of God? There's two different directions we can go when we die. One, the flames of hell, separation from God, wailing and gnashing of teeth, and Jesus spoke more of hell than He did heaven. He doesn't want anyone to go there. And then, in God's presence, Revelation 21 tells us no more tears, pain, suffering. We'll be with our God, and He'll be with His people. If you don't have that certainty, and you'd like to talk to someone about praying to receive Christ, 24/7, there are folks waiting to help you. Do that. Why don't you call 1-888-NEED-HIM? Again, I promise you will be so glad you did. You'll have a peace that passes all understanding. That number is 1-888-NEED-HIM. The words need him. Don't wait. Make that call and do it right now. You will be so glad that you did. I can promise you that.
Here's a one that got away fishing story from God's Great Outdoors. Well, when it comes to losing in the area of fishing, the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette, always strikes out big when he tries to hook into salmon or trout. But that's only when he's fishing with his brother-in-law, Joe Bakanovic. It's like I'm jinxed anytime I fish with my brother-in-law, Joe. He always outdoes me, says Jerry. But trout and salmon fishing seems to be a total washout if his brother-in-law is in on the fishing excursion. When fishing riverbanks for trout, Joe will be hauling in fish left and right, and all Jerry is able to land are creek chubs. Joe will be filling a stringer of trout as I play catch and release with the river's chubbies, laments Jerry. But the worst times fishing with Joe is for salmon on the Great Lakes, Jerry remembers. I can think of at least two times when everyone in the boat was catching salmon but me. We all used the same tackle and lures, but I came home empty-handed each trip. The first few fish I did hook, I lost. In fact, one of those times, Joe even caught a beautiful steelhead that topped off his ice chest full of salmon. Jerry says this was like rubbing salt in the wound, and did his brother-in-law feel sorry for Jerry? Not on your life, reflects Jerry. Joe just loved it. The host of God's Great Outdoors might lose out when fishing with his brother-in-law, Joe. But there is one place Jerry is certainly a winner, and that's when it comes to his eternal salvation. You, too, can be a part of God's ultimate fishing creel and thus be assured of winning out for all eternity. For a free booklet on the subject by Ron Lindner called The End of the Line, just contact us here at God's Great Outdoors by mail, phone, or email.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story and 63 others in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? Something that you can use yourself as a devotional, or you can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-TALK-GGO. This book can make a difference in someone's life. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
Should men hunt? What does the Bible say? From time to time, we get contacts asking if it is okay for people to fish, hunt, or even eat meat. So we've taken scripture verses that deal with this topic and put them on a handy little bookmark to place in your Bible. For a free copy, contact us right away. This tool will help to share scriptures with those sportsmen needing to know their Creator God. Call 1-877-TALK-GGO.
We're thankful for today's guest and the fact that you joined us as well. We'd love to hear how God has spoken to you. Please write to us and mail it to 8193 Emmerich Road, West Milton, Ohio, 45383. I'm John Skillman, inviting you to always consider how to make wise use of your time in God's great outdoors.